Teach me. I'll be a student of your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
Get this one.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, carrying on speaking to the parents, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and then he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. This is a Jewish man who doesn't like pigs. He doesn't like bacon. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? And I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" And he rose, and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to his father, "I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his son, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and he's alive again, and he was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Does this story make you smile at all? Hello? And now this older son was in the field. Which one are you? This older son was in the field. And as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, pleaded with him. And he answered his father, "Look, these many years I served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, and you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, my son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It's fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother is dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Wonderful. Wonderful. I pray, God, that we would see and understand from these parables. You know, Jesus says this: many see, but not many perceive. Many see. seeking but not any understanding. Know that the responsibility for perceiving and understanding is not the Holy Spirit. The responsibility for seeing and understanding and taking it in and chewing on it until you get it is yours and mine. When you read these scriptures, you don't read them once and say, that's what a lovely story, and walk off. That's just seeing. See and perceive is to take it in and say, God, give me understanding. Give me. Put me in a picture. Am I like the lost son? Am I like the older son? Am I like the lost boy or the lost sheep? Can I be like the father? Can I be like that shepherd or like that woman who searches? Put yourself in the story and let it impact you. You can't read the Bible. It's just a little letter with words on it. This is revelation that can change your entire life. And either you read it and say, I've read the Bible, I'm in a good point. Or you perceive and you dig and you find that hole and you look and you search until you've got it in you. And then you understand it. Then God can use what's on the inside and not what's still on the pages. Hello? Let's say, God, over this 5 weeks, if we look at this chapter, every single Sunday for the next 4 weeks, even today, we're going to read the same scripture again. Are you happy with that? So that's going to get boring by the fourth time. Well, maybe you need to see and perceive. Maybe there's some older son attributes in our hearts we need to get rid of. Maybe we should have 5 times a year a reminder that it's all about the lost. It's all about the broken. It's not about us. Amen?
Luke 15.
So the goal of this series, I'm trusting that we will mature to the place of having a father's heart in all these things. And that we will see fruit. And folk, the fruit's going to come as you and I grow and look for them. And as we take these attitudes that are displayed within these scriptures and put them within our hearts, and let the Holy Spirit work within our hearts. And as you read this, I'm telling you, you can take the devotional time over these next 5 weeks, over a month, and read the same scripture over and over and over and over until it burns within you. Don't read another scripture. Or read another scripture, but read this again and again and again until it burns within you. Until you realize that God's got a role for you to play in this. Amen? Life groups, I don't want you looking at any other scriptures over these next 5 weeks. Any life group, any person that's gathering in the life of this church, go to the scripture. Whatever you've been doing, put it aside for a moment. Together, we're going to focus on this. Because together, if we unify together in this, we'll be unified together in the fruit that God wants us to have. Is that good? Who wants to see the lost come home? Were you lost ever? Hello? Have you ever sung Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, like that older brother, but now I see. We've got to remember that song, folks. You never ever go beyond the fact that you were a sinner and God saved you. You're never bigger than that. You're never ever bigger than that. Thing. But you can mature in the way that you bring that truth and that gospel and that good word to others. And you make it not just about God saved me a sinner, but you make it about you. God, use me to save sinners. That's what he came to do. That's what we wanted to see. So firstly, we're going to look at the first 10 verses. Firstly, we find that Jesus acts in a certain way that attracts the worst of the worst. Man, have you been fraught? Have you been in some way a disgust to your friends and family, to your mother, your father? Have you been in some way an absolute reject? A swearing, sleeping around, drinking, foul, stinking, not bathing, whatever mess. Hello? If you've been there, I tell you what, you don't realize what you look like to God, even when you've got a little bit of a line on. Those things are happy. And that's who Jesus attracts. Hello? I need to ask the question, am I, and are we in the church, attracting those kind of people? Or are we looking for the Kyalonis? And the lonely alarmies. Or are we looking for everyone? Hello? The lost people are everywhere. And you can't even feed that, because I know Ray has my preachers. And when Ray says amen, then you must say amen as well. Amen. Amen. Then the religious leaders accuse Jesus basically of being no good at all. In Luke 7, verse 34, they say, it says, it's the Son of Man. This is God, Jesus. There's some eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So they were accusing Jesus of being stinky no good as well. That's what these religious, pious, foul, holier than thou people were accusing Jesus of. I tell you what, it's very quick to get there, bro. Hello? I've been accused of it. I've been accused of it. My old friends, when I got saved, my friends said, why are you becoming such a holier than thou? And I thought, well, you don't know nothing. I'm telling you, my own heart. And at some point along the way, I realized, actually, God, you placed me there for them. It wasn't for me to judge them and say, don't say the name of the Lord in like that. When you say Jesus Christ like that, don't you know that fire of hell's going to come on you? You think that's going to get anybody saved?
No.
But when they say that thing, you just pray in your heart and say, God, I was like that. And you loved me. And you saved me graciously. I never ever heard Jesus come to me and say, I'll be mad at you. Never. He came to me and said, I love you. And the day when I walked down that aisle with tears rolling down my eyes, I knew this, that I was the worst person on the face of the earth. That's what I thought about. But I knew that he loved me. And I couldn't understand it. But I realized, no matter what I've seen, no matter who I've done things with, no matter what I've taken, no matter how much I've blasphemed him, so that others can laugh at it, he loved me. That changes our lives. When the world sees the people who've got the same heart as God, this place will be packed. Why do they not want to come? Do you think people come here and they think they're judged? Hello? Are you here this morning and have you already had a glancing eye towards you? Or have you had a welcome? Thousands. Man, you're so glad you're here. Jesus responded with these three parables. Today we're going to look at the two about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And basically, it's what motivates Jesus to do what he does. So the sinners gathered to him. And notice this. Who is gathered to Jesus? It says tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees and scribes. It's basically everyone. Anybody's gathered to Jesus. Anybody wants to know what Jesus has to say. When you come to see Jesus for who he is, he's attractive. This is why we want to exalt Jesus. That's why our worship is about Jesus. We want to sing about Jesus. We want to love Jesus. We want to preach Jesus, we preach. Because he's attractive to people. Then everything else here that's possibly attractive in some way, let it all fade in comparison to Jesus. He's the one that we want to see people run to. And if we ever get in the way, then God can actually push us aside and move somewhere else. It's about him. It's about Jesus, folks. Not what he gets, and not what we get because of him. It's about him. And textually, by their own admission, listen to this, the Pharisees and the scribes, they say this man receives sinners and eats with them. But Jesus also welcomed the Pharisees and the scribes and ate with them. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's a sinner. Whether you think you're good or not, whether you know you're bad, everybody's a sinner. We're all falling short of the glory of God. Has anybody got it right from the top? Has anybody ever reflected the full image of God perfectly in love to everyone all the time? No. Anyone? I want to meet you if you've done it. Only Jesus has. That's what makes him so attractive. And so we're all sinners, and Jesus welcomes sinners. Like, this church needs to be a hospital and not a hospital. Hello? This is where sick people are made well, and not where people are judged. Don't take that judge out of your heart when you hear and have the nurse mentality. Don't judge this and judge that and the church this and the church that. Come on, man. Next thinker, listen, let's take that thing out of your heart and say, how can I help? What can I do? Where can I give? How can I serve? Are we good? That's what this place needs to be. It's going to take some time because you know what? There's also some Pharisees and the scribes that are attracted to Jesus here. And you might be one of them. And me. Hello? I've acted like a Pharisee many times. Let me give you an example. Help me, help me. You're like a big drop of Jesus' love, and you can walk around the board in that. Jesus, your love and your mercy get a pump into my body. Jesus eats with them. And look, I welcome them. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. How are you with sinners? Just remember this, you were one. How, And welcoming and eating with sinners is not just the shake at the door of the church, the handshake at the door of the church house. It's welcoming them into your house. But this, it says this, it says Jesus ate with them. But they ate with Jesus. He went to them. He ate with them. He went where they were. Where they were eating, in their bars, in their places, where their prostitutes were. That's where he went and he ate with them there. And he changed them completely by his attitude towards them. And he didn't have to do what they were doing in order to be accepted by them. He didn't say, I'm going to have a beer so that all those who have a beer can be with me. Beer for Jesus. He didn't. Not a chance. He didn't touch the stuff. But he stayed with them. He said, you have your beer, but I'm here to love you. And that beer can make you drunk and you'll have to have beer again before you want to feel drunk again. But if you've got me, you'll be satisfied forever. And then, Jesus goes to them. Austin is welcome in your home. I heard this guy, Archie Kendall, talk about when he started to evangelize the streets of whichever place in London. He went out onto the streets, he was bringing in, and he said he found this. He said, the men from the House of Lords weren't coming to church. And the whatever other toys they were in town, they're not coming to Jesus. The people who were coming to Jesus were the people who didn't have a home. And the people who were lost. And the people who didn't have any money. And the people who were stuck on heroin. And the people who were messed up. Those are the ones who came. And they started to fill the church. And one week there was about two or three of them. You know, there's so lovely people being saved. The next week there's about 12 of them. And the next week there's about 20 of them. And the next week there's a whole lot of them. And then somebody came to Archie Kendall and said to him, listen, he's not quite like us. Can we maybe start to aim at the good looking people and the people that really. That are going to help us build this ministry. And that's what he said. Wow. And Archie Kendall said this, he says, when they focus on the poor, God gave them more money than they ever had. Come on.
Yeah.
He said they had way more when they were full of more of the poor. We've got this crazy idea in the northern suburbs of Joburg that we have to be a nice church. That we better not dirty people. Dirty people are welcome here because I was dirty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We don't realize, folks, how far we are from Him. Until He saves us and He comes close to us. We didn't do anything to find Him. Who did the lost sheep find its way home? Did the lost coin find its way home? They must have needed somebody to come and fetch them. And this is what the lost need. And you know what? Lost people are not walking along main road or driving along main road. No, let's go to church this morning. And pull in. Hello? I have never ever heard of a bunch of lost people just arrive at the church and say, we want Jesus to come. It's never going to happen, ever once. Because Jesus showed us the pattern. He went to them, and he ate with them, and he fetched them, and he reached out to them, and he searched for them, and he went diligently after them. Who's going to do it? You and I. Unless you think you still need to be saved, maybe you need to start being used by God to reach the lost. Have you been found? Have your eyes been opened? Have you seen amazing grace with truth and conviction in your heart? Then you're the one who has to go. And not going to run there. Not going to what billboard we put up, what sign, doesn't matter how good our internet website is, all these things, people are not running here. Have you noticed? And you see the empty chairs. And what? Who would you like to sit next to? Some Christians? Or do you want to go fetch some stinkers? I don't call them stinkers. But if you don't know Jesus, you know what I mean. Okay. You're doing all right? Okay. The East of Eden. Listen to this, Mark 2, verse 13 to 17. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd. He went out beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And he passed by, and he saw Levi. He passed by, and he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. The tax collector, by the way, was like, the Israelite hated him. Can you imagine? This is what it was. The tax collector was somebody who wasn't Israelite, who decided he would work for the Romans, who were coming to overpower Israel, would work for the Romans to draw taxes for the Romans from his own people and get cut with it. And they would get rich. And so the Israelites would hate them because they were their own brothers who were now taking from them and getting rich from it and giving a whole lot to the Romans. And every time the Romans would demand taxes, the tax collectors would go and fetch. And there was your brother mocking him and saying, the Romans want more money and I'm going to get a cut. So the Pharisees, imagine the people like sinners and tax collectors, they love to be in the same part. They're just worthless people. We want nothing to do with them. We can take them all out. And the Zealots, and there's a guy who followed Jesus called Simon the Zealot. The Zealots, they were so zealous, they would take out the tax collectors. If they saw a tax collector, they cut them. They saw a tax collector there, they were disciples, and whatever they had in rock. Take out the tax collectors. And Jesus does it, he says, follow me, Levi. But he also says this, follow me, Simon the Zealot. And in Jesus, 12 men was two people that vehemently hated each other, but they could work together because they had their eyes on Jesus. Amazing. Two people that don't need to be opposed to each other. Man, you might have people in the church next to you that do things completely differently the way, in fact, your whole life goal is to change that person's life. No one. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow me, and he rose and followed him, and he was refining. Look at this. And as he was refining, now this is different. He went to their house, but now this is Jesus opening up his house. As he refined that table in his house. Wow. Jesus had a house, but he forsook it. Many tax collectors and sinners were refining with Jesus. I mean, how's that? It's like Jesus, like this. Walking there, ask God. Whatever. And as he reclined at the table, I tell you, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus, and they were all walking their own. And his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners, and tax collectors said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And that, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came to call the righteous. Thank you. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. These parables are there to talk to us. So, Jesus, when it comes to the lost, look at this. Jesus leads heaven. He's got everything he needs in heaven. The angels are at his back and forth. He's been in eternity, forever in the love of his Father and the love of the Holy Spirit. And his love pouring out from his Father and the Holy Spirit forever. He didn't need to create us. Jesus was fully satisfied in heaven. God didn't have to make us. He didn't have to. But out of his love and out of his expressiveness and his creative nature, he chose to make us. And then he wanted us to be with him. So he makes all these creatures that can experience more of the love that he's giving in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just the circle of love all the time. So God, let's make all our people and let's invite them into that love. Isn't that awesome? But we're not going to make robots, we're going to let them choose. And this will be the test. The God will eat them with a tree that they could eat from and a tree that they shouldn't eat from. If you eat in the tree that you shouldn't eat from, it's an indication that you don't really want to be with me. And that's the problem with most lost people. Lost people do not have or want, or they have had a desire to be with God. Lost people will explain evolution to you. Lost people will tell you that the Bible is a lie. Lost people will tell you there is no God. Lost people are lost people because there is a God and he is still seeking them and still wanting to find them. Jesus leaves heaven and comes. He's calling us to do the same. And it says that he goes after them. This is interesting. There's a story of a sheep and there's a story of a coin. The sheep kind of goes out and has gone astray, and the coin is in the house. And there's an indication there that you can be lost while you're astray, but you can also be lost while you're in the house. That coin was in the house, but still the heart was far from God. How's your heart this morning, God? And the coin, it's interesting, the coin is the responsibility of the woman. She was supposed to look after that coin. She lost the coin and she went after it. And the sheep's responsibility for getting lost is his own responsibility. The sheep were lost and the shepherd went after the sheep. There's a difference there. Lost people need somebody to go find them. But there's a responsibility among us here who are in the house to love and care for each other like valuable coins so that the coins don't be lost. That is a responsibility for each of us. But this persistence we see in God. God is the Creator. Since the Garden of Eden, since Adam, He's seeking a relationship with the people that He's made. He's longing. He's persistent. He doesn't give up. He searches intently. God will not stop until He's got you. When God's got your number, that's it. Provide. He's going to get you. He gets His man. But He does it with love. And He woos after you. God's persistent. And then I love this. It says, He places the lost sheep on His shoulders. And there's something about being restored to the shoulders of Jesus. The shoulders, in the Isaiah 9 verse 6, it says this. And they're speaking and prophesying about Jesus. I don't know how many hundreds of years before Jesus. Possibly thousands of years before Jesus. Isaiah gives this prophecy about Jesus. He says, well, as a child is born, to us a son is given, talking about Jesus who was born from the Virgin, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, when Jesus comes back to find you, He wants to put you in a place where He restores you to His government. He restores you to His authority. He puts you on His shoulders. And He says, I want to govern your life. I want to be in charge of your life. Your independent spirit of running wherever you want and trying to be your own boss is not the answer. That's a waywardness. Independence is the same as rebellion. It's just going away from God, walking away from God, doing your own thing, not submitting to anyone. But when God restores the sheep, He puts the sheep back on His shoulders, and He says, you need authority in your life. You need government in your life. You need leadership in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Then, when you've got the shepherd in your life, He can guide you. We all are sheep, go astray. We need a shepherd to tell us what to do. Hello? We need leadership, we need government, we need authority upon our lives, we need fathers, we need pastors, we need principals in schools, we need boards that we submit to, we need laws of the land, we need taxes. Hello? We need presidents. Don't complain. And we are not sheep. You need the government of God in your life. When God says, honor the king, obey the law. Submit to your leaders, follow the elders. Do this, do that. There's a requirement upon every single one of us. How do you get repentance? Or are you submitted? How do you get lost? I did it my way. That's how you get lost. Do it your way. Or come back to the fold. When you take it, He puts you on the shoulders and He brings you back to the flock. And He puts you back to the flock. He's got the upper plan. You want to get lost? Be first. Walk out of this.
Praise first.
That's awesome. Stay with us. Let God deal with things in your heart that need to be dealt with in this. Stay together. Walk together. Or go find a church where you can just have this, or do you ask to see this, or ask to scratch your itchy ears, and all these kind of things, and people will pat you back and, hi, how are you, how's the day?
That's
one. It's based on that scripture. Get back on the shoulders of Jesus, and He brings them back into the beginning. He calls what He brings to David and He says, my lost sheep. And all the sheep are like, wow. Wow. We need each other, folks. We need the government of Jesus over us, and we need the friends and neighbors of the flock around us. Have you got a reference to the Father in your life, Pastor? Have you got a reference to God on everything you do? Is your work for Him? Is your money for Him? Is your marriage for Him? Is your children and their future for Him? Hello? Or are you independent and wayward? Get back under and onto the shoulders of the shepherd. Amen. I want to ask you this. Have you got any reference to the flock among them? Or the people that you work with in church? Only those that can do something good for you. Hello? Only those that can do something for you. Only those that make you good. Whoa. Please, folks. Be someone to someone in this church. Be a blessing because you're on the shoulders. And you know, we need to carry each other sometimes. How does that happen? When somebody gets born again,
People don't get born again and exactly know what to do with their lives. People don't decide to follow Jesus and then stick with Him step by step, every single step all the way. That wayward grossness inside of us tends to pull us away and pull us back out into the fields where we were. And have you found that it's sometimes it's difficult to stay free from all the stuff that cuts you away? It takes discipline. It takes encouragement. It takes, help me, Lord. Help one another. Sometimes you've got to carry one another. When you're strong, it's a good time not to stay strong for yourself, because then you might tend towards your own waywardness. When you're strong, make sure you're helping some people who are weak. Hello? If you're weak, look for someone who's strong. Stop living on your own in the church. Stop living for yourself in the church. I'm going to be a little harsher. Am I?
No.
I mean, this thing's hitting me too. It's about that weak brother who needs to be carried for all. Because there's times when you need to be carried. I need to be carried. Yeah. When was it? 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. I led worship, I preached, and then I had a leaders meeting. By the time I got to the leaders meeting, who of you were in that leaders meeting? It was a lack of leaders meeting. Yeah. I was practical, I was measuring, I was, what's going on? I was tired, empty, nothing. And at the end of the meeting, I just said, guys, sorry, please come pray for me. And all the guys came and they lifted up my arms and they were prophesying over me and encouraging me and strengthening me in that leaders meeting. Man, thank you, God, that I can be vulnerable with people. That I can be real with how I feel. And they're there to carry me for it. We need each other. Nobody is perfect. I don't have to be the cool cut, got it all together, leader all the time. I need your help. I need your prayers. But I also want to carry you as often as I can. But the point is this, we teach people that Jesus is the one who carries us. Because at the end of the day, when you're all gone, I need Jesus. At the end of the day, when I'm not around you, the friends are not around you, need Jesus. Because there's a brother who's stronger than all. That's him. And this, he does joyfully follow. It brings them into community. It's beautiful. I mean, I love this. It says, all in heaven rejoices. There's more joy in heaven. Heaven gets set up alive when one sinner repents. That's either the lost sheep who was gone and comes back home, who's never been converted before, or the person in the flock, in the house, who's drifted away from God, who repents and says, I want to come back to you, God. All in heaven rejoices. Who here would like to live a life that causes heaven to worship? Hello? Do you want your life to operate in such a way that heaven comes to you for you to worship, or you do things that cause heaven to worship? Hello? That's a big question. I mean, offering your life and giving your life is all worship. Reading the scriptures is worship. What you do with your finances is worship. The way you love your wife, your husband is worship. The way you love your children is worship. The way you reach the lost is worship. The way you sing together is worship. Man, when you repent, heaven repents. And when you use your life to see other people repent and turn to Him, all of heaven, that's crazy. You know how much heaven rejoiced over you when you gave your heart to Him? When you gave your heart to Jesus? All of heaven rejoiced. Don't you want heaven to keep rejoicing? It doesn't ever stop the praise carries on in heaven all the time. Why? Because Jesus is saving people all the time. There's millions of people doing the offer of Jesus all the time. You can imagine how awesome that is. Look at this, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. I just want to touch on worship. The theme of worship in heaven is Jesus saves sinners. That's the theme of worship in heaven. That should be the theme of our worship here. Now when we sing, we're going to worship now. When we sing and when we worship, we thank God for what He's done for us, but the whole thing is praise God because He has saved sinners. Amen? Do you worship God because you got a fat bank account and there was a nice check at the end of the month? You worship God because of that? Do you worship God because you got that goal you were thankful for? Is it for stuff that comes your way? Or is it about Jesus who saves sinners?
Revelation 5, verse 9 to 14. Look at this. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Hello? Those seven things people run after. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. People run after power. People run after wealth. People run after wisdom. People run after might. People run after honor. People run after glory. And people run after blessing. Hello? But you are worthy to receive all the good things that have come to me. I give that to you, God. That's worship. All the wealth. It's for you, God. All the whatever, all the strength, all of it. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea. Imagine even the fish singing. And then all of them were saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down in worship. Wow, God. Lastly, I want to touch on this point. This woman lights a lamp. She holds up the lamp, and we have to hold up Jesus as the light of the world. Because then the lost can see. In the church is the pillar and foundational truth. If we don't preach the word of God clearly, then that means people can hide in the corners, and hide in the darkness, and hide in their sin, and they'll never come into the light. We have to hold up the light as brightly as we can so people can return to it. She speaks the whole house. Fuck. Look and search, but even among us, yeah, just because you're in the church today doesn't mean you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. If you sit in the garage all day, it doesn't make you a car. Yeah. Roman Paul's statement. Walking in a car or a garage all day doesn't make you a car. It's about being not in Him. Don't drift away from your God. Oh, have you drifted? Is He your first love? This week I realized that I've drifted. And you might think, oh, wait. I tell you, it's so easy to lose a little bit of respect for God. And you know how it comes through? You lose a little bit of respect for people. You lose a little bit of respect for your wife. And you lose a little bit of respect. And you treat people badly. And you say what you think you need to have said. I tell you, when mass things happen, there's no fear of God. There's no respect and love for Him, and no love for people. But can we say, God, if those things in my life, actually, I need to acknowledge that I've drifted from Him. Are you trusting Him? Not angry at Him. Don't drift away from Him. Love God with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Those coins, let me just touch on this quickly. That woman had a bridal headdress. And in those days, historians say this, that the bridal headdress had 10 silver coins in it. And the 10 silver coins were in a bridal headdress, so that means she was either going to get married, she was either already married, and it was sentimental to her, or she was going to use those coins to save them for a day when she needed them. So those coins were valuable to her. You know, when a woman's planning a wedding, that means don't touch that. They don't need you in the wedding business, and they know, there comes that bride. And she wants everything particular. So this woman, when she lost her coin, she was losing something that she desired very much. And folks, God loves you so much. He wants you to be close to the head, which is Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is His body. And it's easy for us to slip away from the head, and slip away from the place of, you're my everything, God. And your authority is in my life, God. It's easy to fall somewhere in the house, and you're here, but you're not really close to the head anymore. You're close to Jesus. But this is the truth. God has promised you that you will be part of the bride that knows His Son. And that's why God sees you as valuable. He does not want any of the valuable pieces that are going to be at His wedding lost in the house. He wants you. He wants you close. He bought you with a price. Can the worship team come up, please? in a worship. And we're doing it differently today. The Word of God has come. The Word of God has challenged us and changed us. It's only 10 o'clock. We normally end around 22 a.m. You might think, oh, it's not the end of the meeting. This is the beginning. When you know what God has done for you, you want to worship Him. Amen? I want you to know, God, Jesus will not stop searching and running after you until He's got you. If you're a lost sheep and you've never, ever even known Him, He's coming after you. He's knocking on your heart. He says, I want you more than anything else. He's seeking after you. And maybe you're a coin in the house. And maybe you've been in the house a long time. Maybe you're perfectly placed on that mattress. And you pull it off somewhere. God is still pursuing you. God is still searching for you. God is still shining His light upon you. God still wants to use you mightily. Hello? God still has a plan and a purpose for you. Listen to Paul when he speaks about how Jesus saved him. He says, I thank you, who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful and appointed me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, just like me, a persecutor, as insolent as one, but I received mercy, because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord Jesus overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I was the foremost. Paul. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. So Paul is talking about his own salvation. He's talking about the grace of Jesus, and then he goes into this doxology, this praise. He just says, to the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When you think about this, that you have been saved, when you think about this, that you've been restored to God, there's only one thing you can do. Worship Him. Worship Him. Everything you've ever needed is given it. How much more will you give all those other things, but just worship Him? It's not about what you haven't got yet. It's about everything that you've received because He laid down His Son to die for you. This salvation was costly for Him. It cost the shepherd something to lose a sheep. It cost the woman something to lose a coin. It costs God something when there's people that are lost. It hurts Him. It hurts Him to the point of that. And that blood that He poured out there hurt Him. So that He could have and reach you. He loves you. I thought God give us a word. Let me just play along with something, Irene, please. Would you stand, please? Because I believe this is for you as you stand here this morning. But the way you come back is repentance. The Bible says, all in heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. Repentance is this. Change your thinking. You've been thinking about the wrong stuff. Put your thoughts back on Him. Put your thoughts back on the King in Him. Repentance is this. Acknowledge that you're not in the right place. Acknowledge you've been lost and you've drifted and you've been far from Him. Acknowledge that you need Him and then make a U-turn. All of heaven rejoices when you think about that. When you acknowledge that you're wrong and you say, yes, I want to follow you, God. Maybe you're in this place and you've been lost and you've been broken and you've been in so much mess that you feel like you're trying to tell a story to God. You say, God, I'm unworthy to be your son and I've sinned against heaven and earth and I don't know what to do. And He came here as a kind of servant for something small. God says, I want to put a robe on you. I'm going to put the best robe on you. I want to put a ring on your finger. I want to put shoes on your feet. I love you. I love you more than anything you gave me. I was born out of the blood in my mind to you. And that's what He's done. Jesus loves you, God. He's reached out for you and will not stop reaching for you and not stop searching until He has you. If you're in this place that you haven't made that decision to follow Him, I want to ask you this morning. Will you say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you? Pray with me this prayer. Father, I realize that I've been far from you. And I thank you that you've come to find me. And that you're not ashamed of my sin. And that you came to save sinners. Thank you for loving me, God. Today I want to follow you. Today I put my trust in you. Today I want to turn from that stuff. I want to be on your shoulders, Jesus. I want to be carried by you. I can't do it anymore, and I ask you to help me. Know this. Jesus will carry you, and he loves you, and he restores you. If you pray that prayer, just show me your hand. Wonderful, God. Wonderful. 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 I feel God say this to every single one of us here. I love you. I see you. And I have come for you. I will find you and I will search for you. I see you when you are lost and I see you when you are blinded by sin. But I will not give up on you. I will restore you to me and I will carry you close. Come to me. All who are lost in sin, I value you. Come to me and I will make you well. I do not want you to be hurt or die. When you know how much I love you, you will love me. And you will find freedom in repentance and worshiping me for my grace and forgiveness towards you. I have come for you. Join me. Call me Father. You are my child. Will you let me use you to go and find others, to rescue the lost? Will you see how much I value them? And I want them to know me. Oh Lord God, this morning, Lord, we are trusting you. Is anyone here this morning who just, you want to restore to him? If you are giving your heart to Jesus and you say, God, I need you to help me. I want you to come out and stand here before me. I want to pray for you. We're going to sing together. Your heart has got distant from the love of God, and you've been feeling like actually you haven't cared about sinners, and you haven't cared about the lost, and you have not cared about the things of God. You're far from Him. You need to come closer. You need to come back. You need to come back to Him. Please come forward. Please step out. I know there are people here. I know there are people here who need to step into that place. If you want to be a cup, if you say, God, use me again, come. You make that step. You say, I'm coming back to you, God. I know that you come for me. I invite you, come. I invite you, come. Well done, Jim. You come courageous for me. You courageous for me. Come. Come, come, come.
Thank you. Maybe clap your hands or rejoice. Yeah.
give us opportunities. But folks, let's worship, let's praise Him. And while we worship, folks, there's opportunities for us to respond in worship. And let's lift up our voices. Let's just sing of what He's done for us. Sing of what He's wanting to do. Let's just enjoy Him. We're going to go with songs in our hearts. But let's worship. This meeting is not over. I'll dismiss you when it's over. We're going to also partake of communion by the time we get to some of the songs at the end. And really, the communion is about the blood of Jesus there to forgive all sins. And the body of Jesus was broken so we can be made whole again. Who wants to be forgiven of all his sins? You are forgiven. Who wants to be made whole again? Jesus was broken. You are made whole. Let's worship Him.
Okay, which one is this now? Huh? Holding nothing back.
Thick, hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. without being around.
Everything I do, in 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 everything I do,
He showed us what it means as a man who lives entirely dependent and entirely devoted to the Father. When you gave yourself to the preaching of the crowds, and when you gave yourself to the reaching out and touching the leper and the broken man and the hurting people, when you gave yourself to the weeping widow who lost her son, and when you gave yourself and you gave the time of day to the people that the rest rejected, that's what you did for us, Jesus. That's what you do for us here today. We want to be used by you, God. We want to be used by you, Lord. You drew 12 people aside, just 12, and imputed your life into them. And on that day when you were risen from the dead, there were only 120. But when the Spirit came upon them, the whole world was changed. So give it to us to this day. Lord God, we will not despise small beginnings. We will not despise what you want to do in us throughout this whole series. Today, Lord God, some of us have heard this message and are receiving this heart, maybe for the first time, or be challenged with it only after a long time of serving God. But as we go week by week, we're going to start to work something in us and develop something of your heart in us for the sake of the lost. But I pray when you start today, keep doing throughout this whole week, and do it again next Sunday, and the following Sunday, and the one after, and the one thereof. Until we are passionately in love with what you're doing, until we're excited about the one who is in eternity. So we respond in worship exuberantly. God, we ask you, Lord, come and change our mediocre lives. Our lives are so, we lean on so many things but you. God, I pray, Lord God, for such a power to overtake us and empower us. Set us on fire for your word. And in Jesus, you gave yourself to the cross. And you laid down yourself on the cross. And Lord God, you're calling every one of us to carry our crosses. And you shed your blood for the forgiveness of men. And when we get past at the end of this feast, we're going to partake of communion together. We're going to receive what Jesus says we need to do often. In remembrance of him, remembering what he's done for us so that we can go do the same. He forgives you today. He forgives him yesterday, he forgives you. He forgives him even in this meeting, he forgives you. He washes you. And he wants to live inside of you. He wants to be inside so that you can walk like him. Lord, I pray, Jesus. And as we partake of these emblems, as we drink of the wine, and as we eat of the bread, it would be symbolic of us taking this loop of deep that we read today. The bread of life is the word of life. Man shall not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from God's mouth. As we take loop of deep, we take it in, we eat it in, we drink it in, until it bears forth the fruits in our lives. Thank you that when we take it in, Lord, we receive your forgiveness. We receive your changed life. Use us, God, for your glory. Let all of them rejoice. Let all of them rejoice.
I'm
bold and courageous step to follow you into full-time ministry. God, with that comes many prices. With it comes many privileges. And Lord, I just thank you that you draw him near. May he be serving you in everything that he does. That you watch over him and take care of him and his family. His children that will have one day, Lord, bless them in your kingdom. In a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. We've got a baptism which is going to take place. The Elmering family are baptizing. Bruce is baptizing his son this morning, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we're going to grab a cup of coffee, they're going to get ready, and we're going to be witnessing something amazing. A father-son baptism is
taking place
this morning. So please get a coffee, come around, and let's rejoice together. Amen. Thank you.
Sorry, Jim, I didn't see what you did earlier on to get the Audacity app that we can close.
You should be able to find it somewhere down here.
Yeah.
None of these things come. It's warm up. We really. I'm not showing any of my things on the
bottom. That's one. Yeah, that's what you did earlier.
You just stopped. Yeah, you did.
That's the worship one. The other one is.
The other one's right.
The bottom one. Yeah. That one you can actually close because we landed.
What one do I get together with? This one is stopped, eh?
Yeah.
Is it fully stopped?
I don't know.
Guys, just if someone does not say not to you.
This week I was very busy,
good.
But everything's done, and
that's good.
I'm very relieved.
Lots of prayers.
Your mom actually asked me now, what am I doing for lunch? Shall we go for sushi? Yeah, everything's done. I've just got somebody coming to pick up a dress this afternoon.
Nice.
But I did tell her to phone me when they're ready to leave, so that if I'm not at home, I can get home.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh, no, that's good.
Very good. I just need to ask your brother something before he disappears.
Yeah, that might be difficult.
I told him.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still stuck.
It's
I wonder what's
stuck,
happening.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff. Okay, so we can get this one off for the moment. Let's just take that off. I wonder if it's that that's good. See, I can't save it or anything. What is wrong with it? I'm not going to be able to ask this. I can't do anything with this thing.
Oops, now it gives you that.
Yeah, no, that's because we were on air. Because when you're on air, you're on full screen. So that's
why
it's
okay.
Giving us a problem. Okay, so this one's still recording. Okay, maybe that's why.